Well, good morning again. As you can tell, we are in the book of Psalms this morning. And happy Thanksgiving. I saw there were some people who came in after and missed my first Thanksgiving greeting, so happy Thanksgiving to you as well. This year, my family told me that I had to stop saying Thanksgiving jokes, but I told them I just couldn't quit cold turkey. It's the only holiday where foul language is allowed. F-O-W-L. Yeah, just in case. Love Thanksgiving. We have many, many things to be thankful for in our lives as followers of Christ. And we've been in this series in the Psalms, we've been looking at just overarching pictures that the Psalms gives us in ways of responding to God. Before I go too far, I want to dismiss the kids for children's church. So that's ages 4 to 8. Great. Let's pray. Father, you have been so very faithful. Lord, we give you thanks because as we talked about last week with the idea of covenant, Lord, that the covenants you make with us, these agreements, these promises, if they depended on us, they'd be gone because there are times where we are unfaithful. But these promises rely on your faithfulness, Father. And this is not that we would just go about uncaring of your promises. It's not that we throw our hands in the air and say, well, God will keep his side, so I don't have to try. But Lord, we acknowledge the effort that we put in. And Lord, thankfulness is such a big part of that. Lord, that we would see all that you have done, that we would know all that you have done, that we would acknowledge all that you have done, but not forget to give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the children that you've placed in our midst. Lord, we pray for them that as they learn about who you are, as they interact with your word, as they see the things that you have done, Lord, that you would open their eyes to see. And Lord, that you would move in them a response of thanksgiving. Lord, for you have done so much for us. And I pray that you would cultivate that attitude in our hearts today as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we looked at Psalms of enthronement, and this is the idea of looking at God as King, as Lord of all, and singing. And we looked at several different ways of singing and bringing this praise to God for Him as King. And before that we looked at hymns, which are more towards just this general idea of singing to God, of bringing praise to Him, of acknowledging all that He has done. Today we're going to look at, surprise, Thanksgiving Psalms, because there is a whole category of Thanksgiving Psalms as well. And Psalm 100 is pretty unique in that at the very beginning of the psalm, it says what its purpose is for. It says, a psalm for giving thanks. It was an integral part of the religious life of the people of Israel, of these followers of God. And giving thanks to God is one of the most important acts that we can engage in as a spiritual practice, as followers of God. Because gratitude acknowledges that apart from somebody else, apart from the actions of or words of another person, we wouldn't be as well off, or we wouldn't be as good as we could be without the input of another person, stepping into our lives, stepping into a situation. So the expression of thanksgiving appears in the Psalms many times more than any other of the books of the Bible, seven times more than any other book. And in this season of thanksgiving, we acknowledge the many gifts that we have received from God. Because the word tells us that it isn't enough necessarily just to acknowledge or to know that every good thing comes from God, but implores us to respond. How do we respond to all that God has done? We are to respond with thanksgiving. Romans 1, 20 to 21 says that for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But on the flip side of that, they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So we see that our response to this knowledge of God is just as important as knowing things about God. So knowledge of God without thanksgiving, without honor, ends in futility if we don't acknowledge him and give thanks to him. Have you ever noticed how it doesn't seem to really matter which job or occupation that you have? You know, you could be a teacher or a caregiver or anything really. And that's the common phrase that comes up is that it's thankless, right? I don't know that I've ever talked to anyone about their job who said, I get thanked a sufficient amount for what I do, right? And it's not, I don't think it's out of a selfish attitude, but it's just, you know, it'd be nice to for someone to acknowledge. And I think part of the reason for that is so much of what people do is done behind the scenes, and we don't always see exactly how much goes into a particular job. Motherhood, huge. Huge, huge, huge. And I try to thank my wife as much as possible for all that she does, because, you know, I've seen what goes into it. And boy, it is tough. So thankfulness just doesn't seem to be done enough. But thankfulness, or to be thankful, that's how we talk about it at Thanksgiving, right? We say, we are thankful for this, or what are you thankful for, right? But to do that, to express thanksgiving, to be thankful, is profoundly theological. It has to do with God, because being thankful into the air, it's not actual thankfulness. Your thankfulness needs an object, someone that you are thankful to. And even the so-called secular world will acknowledge the positive benefits of an attitude of thankfulness. Harvard Health in August of this year said, in positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. Other studies have looked at how being grateful can improve relationships. For example, a study of couples found out that individuals who took time to express gratitude for their partner not only felt more positive toward the other person, but also felt more comfortable expressing concerns about their relationship. And this study and many others like it sort of enforce what the scripture has been saying for thousands of years, although the focus of Thanksgiving is not primarily on the positive effects for us. That's part of it. But the focus is on the practice of acknowledging all that God has done for us in our daily lives. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're going to be in Psalm 100, this psalm of giving thanks. And in this psalm, there are seven imperatives that the author uses. And an imperative is just a command or a call. You know, do this. Imperatives are quite common in our house with three kids. Clean your room. It's an imperative. It's a command. And in this psalm, there are seven of them. And they give the reason for our giving thanks and the methods by which we give thanks. They are designed in such a way that we would come closer into the presence of God. The picture in Psalm 100 is actually of Israelite pilgrims, not the kind of Thanksgiving pilgrims in America, not those kinds. Why did the pilgrims' pants keep falling down? Because they wear their belt buckles up here. That's the last one. I promise. Not those kinds of pilgrims. Israelite pilgrims who, they had these journeys that they would take to Jerusalem three times a year for these festivals where they would celebrate God. They would celebrate redemptive history and all that God has done. And as they would gradually approach the temple for this festival, the cares and concerns of life sort of take a back seat as the closer that they get. You know, they still bring them with them, right? Carry those things around. But they would get dimmer on the journey to Jerusalem. We have a very similar picture of that in our lives, you know, hopefully every Sunday. We leave our front doors as pilgrims who desire to meet with God, who desire to come into His presence with singing, with the company of God's people, to focus our attention on all that He has done, and the great salvation that He has brought in Christ. So we gather festively. That's why singing is a regular component of the service that we have. We celebrate in remembrance the forgiveness of our sins. You know, Rosie talked about that. We celebrate the gospel. We celebrate all that God has done in remembrance of this eternal hope, this everlasting life that we have. And we can break these seven imperatives that the psalm gives into three categories. There's approaching God through Christ, there's apprehending God through Christ, and there's adoring God through Christ. And R.C. Sproul once said that God doesn't want us to just feel gratitude, but for us to show it by giving thanks with our lives. And so the first, approaching God through Christ, verses 1 and 2. Verses 0 to 2, really. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. So by these three imperatives, we are called to approach with thanksgiving. To make a joyful noise. Some of you might remember this expression from last week when we were in the enthronement, Psalm 98. It means to raise a shout, give a blast with the horn, or shout with religious impulse, which we talked about a little bit. And so last week when we looked at this idea of making a joyful noise, that's exactly what we did. And we'll do it again because that's what we're called to do, is to make a joyful noise. So if you weren't here last week, what we did is I said hip hip, and then you said hurrah as loud as you could. And we'll do that three times because this is what it says. It says to make a joyful noise, okay? And we talked about how I'm an introverted person whose kind of energy level is down here. So if I can do it, so can you. I promise it won't hurt you. Ready? Okay. Hip, hip, huzzah! Hip, hip, huzzah! Hip, hip, huzzah! There you go. Easy. Made a joyful noise. And the picture of raising a shout, the picture of making a joyful noise is that as you're making this pilgrimage towards Jerusalem and you picture yourself just coming over the horizon and seeing the high point of the temple, and you're walking towards it, and your pilgrimage, you can see the goal of the pilgrimage, to come into the presence of God. And so raising a shout is part of that. It's rejoicing. It's making a joyful noise coming into His presence. And we can finally see that we're approaching the God of all creation who redeemed us from slavery, and what joy there is in that. My wife Melissa got back from a journey herself to Saskatchewan because her sister had a baby. So she was going out there to visit. And I've done that drive many times. And once you get past Calgary, it's pretty boring. There's a game that we used to play because I grew up on the prairies because all the roads are straight. So you have a friend in your car and you let go of the steering wheel, and to correct yourself, one person opens their door. And so you need to correct and to steer the car. So if you're ever bored on the prairies and don't have, you know, little ones in the back or anything like that, if you're willing to take your life in your own hands, you can play that game. So when we get close to where we're going after, you know, 13 hours of driving, we say to our kids, you know, there's, you know, the town where her sister lives comes into view, we say, there it is. And our kids make a joyful noise when they see that too. Because it's quite the journey, that final destination. The second imperative that he gives is to serve with gladness. So on this pilgrimage, we come to the gates of the city. We know we have to find a place for a sacrifice. We need to come to the Lord with a sacrifice. If, as you recall, might recall last month, we had a guest preacher, my father-in-law, Peter Mitchell, and he was talking about the gospel in the tabernacle. And coming to the tabernacle means coming with a sacrifice. The innocent dying for the guilty, that your sins might be covered, to come into God's presence. To come into God's presence requires a sacrifice for our sin. And so we bring this offering to the temple and sacrifice it, serving with gladness that God has made a way for us to even come into his presence at all. This isn't something that we do. We're not going to practice that one like we did with making a joyful noise. That might get messy. So the sacrifice for our sin has already been paid, right? We don't need to do that because Jesus is our sacrifice. It is by the blood of Jesus, the innocent dying for the guilty, that we can come into God's presence. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So the sacrifice we bring is of praise in thanksgiving. And it is by this sacrifice that the third imperative can be accomplished, which is to come into his presence with singing. We've made the long trip, this long pilgrimage. We've come into the city. We've served with gladness with the offering that God requires. And now we come into his presence with singing. This is another expression that we saw last Sunday. Coming in to his presence with a joyous song, to give a ringing cry, basically to sing with all your heart, to sing with all you have, with thanksgiving for all that he has done. And I'll never forget the day that that truly happened for me for the first time. I was a bit older when I became a believer. I was 18. And I had a group of people who were discipling me from a youth center in town. And I would go to church and I would sing the songs, but I wasn't really singing in the way that the psalmist is talking about here. It was more reading the words pretty loud. Let's just call it that. But after a Bible study that they had at this youth drop-in center, they had a time of praise and worship. And that was the first time I can remember the Spirit kind of opening my eyes to really understand exactly what it was that God had accomplished. What was the salvation that we give thanks for? And I think that was the first time that I ever actually truly sang in the way that the psalmist is talking about here. To sing with all your heart, to sing with everything that you have in the understanding of what God has done, in thanksgiving. Because everything that I had done, the terrible, awful, horrible things, were forgiven in Christ because he paid the penalty for those things, that I could walk in newness of life. And what response to that is there aside from, thank you, at least. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for me. And this pilgrimage of coming into God's presence is so worth it. I recently bought a book. It's called Church, Do I Have to Go? And I thought I'd be a wise guy, and so I took a picture of it, and I put it on Facebook, and I said, well, it's probably about time I read this. My brother says, well, you might have some pretty serious implications if you don't. Might be looking for another line of work. There were some days where I didn't feel like going, right? When I was younger and when I was older. After I had kids, you know? There were times I didn't, to be honest. And every time that I didn't want to, but did, I never went away saying, well, that was a waste. Always come away with something to be thankful for. Come away encouraged by the Spirit, by knowing what it is that God has done. So as we approach God, we come with open hearts that are willing to confess, you know, God, I don't always feel like coming into your presence. You know, I don't always have something right on the surface to be thankful for. In fact, God, I feel like I've got some things that I'm not really thankful for. And God says, come, bring that. God's presence in the temple is where sin was dealt with. It's where God meets with his people. And so for us to decide to not make that pilgrimage, then what? Nothing happens. And it's in approaching God that we apprehend God. Verse 3, we've made this pilgrimage. We've served with gladness and come into his presence. The fourth imperative of thanksgiving is to know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know the presence of whom you are entering. Don't just know it, but confess it. And there's such a beautiful tension in Scripture, and I know that you've seen it too, where God is holy, God is Lord, God is transcendent, he's above all things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And on the other hand, God is Father. Jesus, our brother. God is friend. And, well, which one is it? Well, it's both. We come into God's presence, acknowledging all that he is, his power, his might. He's the one who came on Mount Sinai with fire, with smoke, with thunder, the all-powerful God. And yet he calls Moses up the mountain. And he calls Moses his friend. And in Jesus, we too become God's friend in apprehending who God is, that he would call us sons and daughters because of Christ. Giving thanks for knowing who he is. Another part of knowing that he is God is that he made us and we are his. We give thanks because we owe our very existence to who God is. And apart from him, we would be nothing. We would not exist. And because he made us, we belong to him. And we're at this stage of our life where many of the things that we do for our children go unnoticed, as I mentioned, with my wife. Because the kids just don't think about that, right? They don't think about, oh, wow, mom and dad are really sacrificing a lot here. I haven't heard a child say that yet. I'm waiting for it. From what I've observed, though, it's not until the kids move out and get a dog that it sort of slowly starts to dawn on them. To some small degree, the amount of time, energy, love that goes into caring for someone else, the kind of love that goes into raising them. And then after they get a dog, they come back to mom and dad and say, you know, with some contrition, hopefully, thank you, you know, didn't realize how much goes into raising a child. So my first gift for my kids when they move out is going to be a dog. And they'll be, oh, thank you. So, yeah, okay. Until you're the one who has to do all the work. No. So it'll be one part gift, one part I told you so. But if raising a dog or raising a kid requires all this time and energy and love and commitment, how much more then should we give thanks to God, to whom we owe our existence, to whom we belong, who sustains our life every day? And not only this, but who calls us his people because of Christ, because of our faith in him. He protects and provides and cares for his children like a shepherd does his sheep. Starting in verse 11, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the sheep for whom the shepherd laid down his life know his voice. Because Jesus laid down his life, we know that we are his people who come to him by faith. And as we come with shouts of joy, as we serve him, come into his presence with singing, know him, we then adore him. Verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Entering his gates is the fifth imperative of thanksgiving. We come into his presence in Christ. We aren't kept outside, but invited to enter, to come into his courts. And so it's very much this picture of you're not just coming by for a quick 5-minute chat. Come into his courts, enter with praise, stay a while in thankfulness of dwelling with God. The sixth and seventh imperatives are to give thanks to him and bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So as we entered with thanksgiving, we give thanks to him as the object of our thanks. It's funny, the word for thanks or thanksgiving in Hebrew comes from the word to throw. It's interesting. So they think that there was some sort of action or practice that accompanied thanksgiving in throwing, and I find it fun to imagine what that might be like. But over time, the practice stopped, but the word remained the same. But the picture there of throwing is interesting because if you see someone throwing a ball in the middle of a field by themselves, like, are you okay? Like, maybe, no, there's no dog. He's just throwing a ball. It requires somebody on the other side. So bring thanksgiving to anybody requires someone on the other side. And so part of our vernacular at Thanksgiving is to be thankful. And I come back to the point that There has to be, you're throwing something. You're throwing out thanksgiving. There has to be somebody to receive it, or else there really isn't anything there. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. We give our thanks to Him. And then the psalmist gives us the reason. Why do we desire to come into His presence? Why do we make the pilgrimage? Why do we come with gladness and serving? Why make a joyful noise? Why enter His gates? For God is good. For God is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. As I mentioned, we had junior youth start this week, and we started a 5-week series on the attributes of God. And every time we meet together, I give them some sort of fancy word that they can impress their friends with. This time it was God's immutability. Yeah. Immutability. And it's not when you won't shut up. Immutability? No, it's not the same. Immutability is the characteristic of God that He never changes. That He is the same yesterday, today, forever. We looked at a picture of, maybe I should have brought it with me, we looked at a picture of one of the first computers, and it was 50 feet long, you know, in a giant room. It has 750,000 moving parts. And then on the other side was a picture of a smartphone. It's like, well, 1,000,000 times the power of that fits in the palm of your hand. Actually, the 50-foot long one, that's more like a calculator now. And we talked, well, if technology changes that much over the course of 80, 90 years, how much has God changed over the course of thousands and thousands of years? And the answer is not one bit. Not one bit. And so if God is immutable, the thanksgiving that we offer to Him is immutable. And so thanksgiving, you know, as a day, but also as spiritual life throughout all of our lives, every day, giving thanks to God, that's an eternal practice. That's an eternal practice. Giving thanks to God today will echo through all of eternity because God never changes. Because He is the Savior, always. Approaching God will eventually come to an end when we fully come into His presence and are with Him always. But apprehending God and adoring God in thanksgiving will last forever. All that He has done will take an eternity to recount. And so on Thanksgiving Day, we at least get a head start. It is good to praise the Lord and to give thanks for all that He has done. There's some in the notes in your bulletin, there's a response. And one of the responses is to just count the blessings. And that's how the old song goes. Count your blessings one by one, see what God has done. Make a practice of that. You know, make a note on your phone, make a sticky note, pen and paper. The more ways you do it, the better. And you'll get a taste of eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks. Lord, we give You thanks because You're good. And Lord, You created us in the beginning with that knowledge that You're good and that You are Lord and that all good things come from You. And then the serpent comes into the garden and whispers in the ear, well, maybe God's not that good. And that deception is believed. Father, in this we see a picture of what sin actually is. Sin is doubting Your goodness, that You don't actually have in mind for us what is best. And on Thanksgiving, we return to that place, not in the Garden of Eden, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, And we say, because of what Christ has done, we have seen your goodness. You are good, and your love endures forever. And we will not run out of reasons to thank you for all that you have done. So, Father, as we have meals together, as we share time together, you know, maybe we have a practice of going around the table and each person saying what they're thankful for. May we just acknowledge that it is to you that we are thankful. For you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.